Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another festive show. This is 2 weeks in a row where we've been in a particularly good and celebratory mood. Last week, it was our 8th year anniversary of being on the airwaves. It was also Halloween. Tonight, we are celebrating the fact that a loyal listener of the show has come all the way from Western Canada, all the way to Memphis, just to spend the day with us and sit in for a live broadcast as one of our most loyal contributors. And it's just been a great day. We talked about it earlier in the show. And I've got even better news. I've got even better news than that. During the commercial break between the first and second hour, just within the last few minutes, the pizza arrived here at our flagship studio. So now I can chase down that grape and the strawberry I ate last hour with some real food, pizza and Coke. And it's happening right now. I'm your host, James Edwards. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. And there's my Coke and we got pizza. Oh, I'm having dinner on the air. This is unprecedented, too. I mean, we're just doing everything different these days. It's Saturday evening, November 3rd. Great to be here with you again as we go out to our AM/FM affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Got a email in, Keith, from a listener in Italy who was also impressed and pleased with our show last week. And it was a fun show, and we're having fun tonight again. Well, I got news. I already exited out of there, but Democrat of the Year has been named in Colorado. The Colorado Democratic Party, in other words, has named their Democrat of the Year. It's a black woman who is convicted, has been convicted of two felonies. Now, to that I would say, okay, well, they backed the wrong horse and she got convicted of two felonies after the fact. No, they knew she was under indictment when they said she was Democrat of the Year. On Thursday, a jury convicted 66-year-old Estelle Carson of felony identity theft and felony theft from an at-risk adult for stealing checks from the woman and using them to pay her own cable, cell phone, and internet bills. The victim is blind, developmentally disabled, has cerebral palsy, and is confined to a wheelchair. She's on a fixed income of $596 per month, according to the Jefferson County District Attorney's Office in Colorado. Nearly as bothersome as the theft itself is the fact that the Jefferson County Democratic Party was aware of the investigation and honored her as Democrat of the Year anyway. So she's stealing, Keith, from a blind, mentally retarded person with cerebral palsy, and she's stealing from this woman who only receives $596 per month. That's your Democrat of the Year.
Well, that's probably the reason she was chosen. She showed the most potential for committing voter fraud in the upcoming presidential election, and they wanted to make sure that that type of talent didn't go unrewarded in the Democratic Party. Well, you know, this is unfortunately the face of the Democratic Party. They couldn't have chosen a better person to represent them, not only in Colorado but nationwide today, than a black female felon. Because that apparently is the demographic profile that they're looking for. And, of course, anybody that thinks that felons should not be allowed to vote is showing how backward and bigoted they are. Right, James?
Well, that's absolutely right. Now, it's hard to do radio when you're stuffing yourself with pizza, and we've got soft drink cans going all over the studio here. So, you know, when you see me eating, Keith, please tread water a little more. I got my mouth full of pepperoni and sausage here. But you've actually got a good article here. You're going to look at him trying to sneak in a bite before the we're coming up on a break. Then you can eat. You got a good article here that really ties in with this, though, particularly with the election forthcoming 3-4 days from now.
This, again, is from the Daily Fish Wrap here in Memphis, commercial appeal of Sunday, October the 28th, 2012. This is nothing less than an editorial opinion written by the editor-in-chief of the commercial appeal, Chris Peck, a Californian who matriculated at Stanford. And the name of this article is Old White Guys Days Limited. And here we go. No, we didn't know yet who will win the 2012 presidential election. But we do know this. Mitt Romney is the older white male candidate of choice. The old white male voter advantage is substantial for Governor Romney. Polling shows that among white males over 60, Romney wins 62% of the votes, to Obama's 36% or less. Among younger white male voters, Obama does better, though not as popular with younger voters as he was in 2008. Obama likely will be able to count on at least 95% of young white males to vote for him this time around. Voting trends by race cut both ways. African American males likely will vote Obama by a huge margin, a lot better than 62%, I guarantee you that, this year, in the range of 90%. How about 95%? How about 100%? Okay? That figure often is used against Obama as a sign that he is using race as an issue in his campaign. But racial politics are tricky. Memphis, a majority African-American city, likely will elect white Congressman Steve Cohen to another term thanks to support from black voters. And the city's African-American mayor, A.C. Wharton, already has won re-election because of broad support among white Memphians. But what both Obama and Romney are getting votes based on racial fears. Well, Romney probably benefits more. How does he figure that? If 90% of black males vote Obama and Romney gets 60% of white males vote, very likely Romney wins the presidency because there are six times more white voters than black voters in this country. Oh, what a shame. I know the liberals are doing as much as they can about that. Indeed, research just a few weeks ago by the National Journal magazine concluded that if Romney gets to 62% of the white vote nationwide, he almost surely wins. But that 61% isn't guaranteed. McCain won only 55% of the older white male vote in 2008. George Bush won only 58% of the older white male vote in the election before that. The fact that Romney needs a bigger percentage of the white vote this time raises a complex set of questions. Can he or should he try to use race as an issue to win? Or would trying to play the race card actually alienate some older white suburban males who perhaps voted for Obama last time and would recoil from being targeted because they were white and might be considered swing voters because of race? For his part, candidate Romney seems to be bending over backwards these days not to come across as someone running overtly as a white male candidate. I agree with that. In the presidential debate, he again and again made direct appeals to women and younger voters. A peace candidate, a consensus builder. We'll take it up after this break.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up 3 or 4 times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
When the truth is found, to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. We thought we had it all planned out. We had, you know, this lavish spread here. Now the pizza's here. We've got the Cokes. We've got, you know, the fruit for people who are into that sort of thing. But no napkins and no paper towels. So, you know, but that's what we got our pants for here in the South. And anyway, Keith was breaking down and reading to you part of an article that appeared in the Memphis Commercial Appeal this week in advance of the presidential election on Tuesday. The title of the article is Old White Guys' Days Are Limited. And it's written, of course, by the white editor of the Commercial Appeal, who is celebrating his own demise. But that's apparently what he wants. And so anyway, back to you, Keith. Break down the gist of the article and why it's important, important enough at least to receive play on the political cesspool tonight.
Well, take a look at the picture of him if you get to get on your computer. The guy looks emasculated. He looks like a gelding, and he obviously is, because he apparently thinks that it's great that old white guys' days are limited. Let me go back to the article.
Take Obama to task for African Americans.
Now, no, not really. He basically said Obama was accused of doing this. But as I recall, there were some articles written at the first of this campaign that pointed out that David Axelrod and the Obama campaign had absolutely not a strategy for trying to capture the votes of white voters, white union members, people that had loyally supported the Democrat Party in times past. They don't care anymore. They want to be the anti-white party, and they're trying to accuse Panderer-in-Chief Mitt Romney of trying to be the white, the great white hope, who is explicitly trying to pitch himself to white voters and doesn't care anything about women, blacks, other minorities. Well, I tell you, if that's his idea, he's keeping it pretty well under wraps, because so far I haven't heard any appeals to white voters made by Mitt Romney. In fact, everything that Mitt Romney has done seems to be trying to capture that teacup full of votes that he may get from people other than white people. Let's get back to the article then. It says, one thing seems clear. Overt race-driven appeals by any candidate likely won't be effective much after the 2012 election. For one thing, younger voters aren't moved much by such appeals, and down the road, the die is already cast in America. A majority of the babies born this year and next will be non-white babies whose Hispanic, African American, and Asian parents will be shaping American politics in the decade to come. What's more, women, not men, now dominate undergraduate college classrooms and are likely to be much more visible in business and civic life in the decades to come. Women already are voting more for Obama than Romney. These trends pose a challenge for the Republican Party. Today, the party is more than 80% white, yet the party as a whole counts fewer than one in three Americans who self-identify as Republicans. The danger Republicans face is that by becoming the party of old white guys, the party has picked a declining demographic that can't compete. No doubt, white male voters at present still strongly control the levers of American business and wealth. But by 2020, a huge percentage of these same old white guys will have moved into the Medicare and Social Security zone, places traditionally more friendly to Democratic politics. If he takes the prize on Election Day, Mitt Romney will have old white males to thank. But one of his most critical political imperatives as president will be to help the Republican Party broaden out to base in the face of changing demographics in America, if he wants his party to prevail in the decades ahead. Well, okay, let me make a couple of comments about this, and then I'm going to turn it over to James, who is chomping at the bit, too. Here's what's happened here. The Republican Party, no matter what it does, is not going to capture black voters. It's not going to capture Hispanic voters. It's not going to capture recent immigrant voters. And despite what Chris Peck may say, there's a great difference in the demographic prospects for growth among different non-white peoples. Hispanics, not blacks, are the group that's growing. Blacks were 10% of the population in 1960. They are now 13%. That's not much growth. For a variety of reasons, that's not where the threat is coming from. The threat is coming from Hispanics primarily, and it's coming not because of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 or any of these great civil rights laws that supposedly have helped blacks so much. They haven't helped most blacks, as we could tell you by our tour of Memphis today. The people that are being boosted and that are growing by leaps and bounds in the American electorate are immigrants, third world immigrants. The most important determinative legislation in transforming America from a white to a non-white country was not the Civil Rights Act of 1964 or the Voting Rights Act of 1965. It was the Immigration Act of 1965 that gave preference to non-whites over whites for immigration preference to the United States. And all we have to do in America to stem the tide, all that a Republican president or a Republican administration or a Republican Congress would have to do, is to enforce the laws that are already on the book. They don't have to pass one new law. They just have to make it a priority in their administration to enforce the laws that exist. Because legal immigration, which, as skewed as it is not the main problem. The main problem is illegal immigration and the feckless indifference or the secret support that both Republican and Democrat administrations have for allowing these interlopers into America to burden our welfare systems, burden our public schools, and to lower the average wage of American workers, James.
Well, I mean, what more can be added? Yet again, I asked the question. Good opinion and analysis on a piece. You showed it to me in the car this morning as we were driving out, and it reminded me of all the reasons why I don't subscribe to the local paper. I mean, it's just irritating. It's annoying. It's dribble. It's tripe. It's what you would expect from any major paper, and this paper is dying because of it, you know, as they all are.
Yeah, well, they say, physician, heal thyself. Chris Peck seems to be worried about the Republican Party dying. He needs to be worried about his own newspaper dying, because the liberal pap he serves up is not what the paying public wants to hear in Memphis. The people that actually pay for a newspaper are, by and large, conservative, and they don't want to hear that they're going out of style.
That being said, Keith, I believe we're coming up on a commercial break. When we come back, Merlin Miller, presidential candidate of the American Third Position, will be our guest. He's live on the air. We're going to tell you what he's got planned over the course of the next couple of days leading up to the big night on Tuesday, how you can help, what he's experienced thus far on the campaign trail, and a surprising figure he met on a recent trip overseas. Who could it be? Well, you'll find out all of that and more in just a moment. And then, of course, later on in the broadcast, during the third hour, we're going to be talking with an expert on energy and why this is such an important issue heading into next Tuesday and in the years beyond. Stay tuned, everybody. We're back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month. Naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
They don't cry.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Our first of two featured guests this evening is now with us. Merlin Miller was born and raised in Des Moines, Iowa, and graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point. He served several years in the U.S. Army, where he commanded two units and then worked as an industrial engineering manager for Michelin Tire Company. In 1983, he was accepted into the University of Southern California's Peter Stark Motion Picture Producing Program, graduating in 1985 with an MFA degree in cinema and television. Merlin has since been an independent screenwriter, motion picture producer and director, and media instructor. Merlin's award-winning films include A Place to Grow, starring Gary Morris, Tracy Christopherson, John Beck, and Wilford Brimley, and Jericho, starring Mark Valley, Leon Coffey, Lisa Stewart, Arlie Ermey, and Buck Taylor. His vision is to build a viable and far-reaching alternative to Hollywood. For more information about that endeavor, please visit americana-pictures.com. But even more importantly, as far as tonight's interview is concerned, is the fact that in 2012, Merlin Miller was recruited by the American Third Position Party to be their presidential candidate. During the course of campaigning over the course of this year, Merlin has appeared on numerous radio, television, and print media interviews. He wrote Our Vision for America, and information about his platform and campaign can be found at MerlinMiller2012.com. Merlin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, James. It's good to be back with you.
Well, lots to talk to you about in limited time. We're coming down on the waning days of campaign 2012. It's been a couple of months since your last visit with us. I know you're a hot topic in the media right now, visiting your website and that of the American Third Position. A lot of media attracted to you right now, and you're giving a lot of interviews. So what's the campaign trail been like since your last visit with us?
Well, it's been exciting. It's really picked up, I think, a lot here since about the last 2 months. And, of course, making the trip to Iran had some interesting impacts on it.
And we're going to talk about that in a second, which is exactly why I didn't mention it. I didn't want to give away what was obviously a very big moment in the campaign. And we're going to talk about that, but continue on.
No, it's been exciting. There's been a lot of interviews. I think, for the most part, the mainstream media still tries to ignore our message, but we are getting a little attention. It's mostly negative, but I think it's still exciting to be able to have a voice, penetrate a little bit into the mainstream.
Well, and talking about some of those interviews and then some of those attacks or the press generated by your candidacy, let's not rely on the establishment media to tell us what you're all about. Why don't you do that right now for people still perhaps making up their minds on who to vote for? What's the Merlin Miller platform all about?
Well, really, I'm a conservative. I've come from mid-America, and we're all about the working class. We're about trying to protect America's middle class and get back to America First positions, where we get our Constitution and start to respect that again and the vision of our founding fathers. But we have so many problems right now tearing us apart. And our opinion is the Republican and Democratic parties no longer serve the American people, but they serve special interests. And our vision is to get back to actually representing the people and having representatives that can go to Washington or our state offices and represent their communities and not become career politicians. So, just so much reform, so much needs to be done to get our country back on track. And we've got a platform with, half a dozen or so major issues, but most of them are issues that the mainstream media will not touch, and the major parties, of course, stay away from.
But they're indeed all American, and if people have any questions or doubts about that, I would encourage you to go to MerlinMiller2012.com right now and see if there's anything extreme about the positions that Merlin Miller is using to define his candidacy. MerlinMiller2012.com, running mate on the A3P ticket. Your running mate, Merlin, is, of course, Dr. Virginia Abernathy, retired professor of anthropology and psychiatry at Vanderbilt University Medical School. She's been on this program as well. She was the subject of a featured piece in the USA Today last week. So again, the candidacy, for better or for worse, with regards to media attention, is indeed drawing it. And I want to now just jump over to a very big trip you made recently. You had an audience with another president, not a presidential candidate, but a president himself. Who was it?
President Ahmadinejad over in Iran. And No, it was a good visit. I was actually invited as part of a film festival, and of course my career is motion pictures and pursuing a real critically important project called False Flag. And so I was over there representing that project at this first international film festival in Tehran, which was called the New Horizon. And a great experience. I met a lot of filmmakers from around the world. A lot of intellectuals were there attending because they had a conference as well as just a festival. So it was a cultural bridging, I think, between a lot of various perspectives around the world, and well attended. A lot of countries were there. And, of course, this followed about a week after they had their NAM, you know, the Non-Aligned Nations Movement Conference, which is really growing as an alternative to the United Nations. So some exciting things happening in Iran right now. And of course, from my perspective and from having met President Ahmadinejad, I really gained some new insights that are foreign to most Americans, simply because our mainstream media tries to demonize the president over there and also the country as a whole. And the reality, the truths are much different than the American people perceive. And you know, I certainly hope that we can share those truths with the American people and get to the point where America puts American interests first and can reach out with friendship to nations like Iran instead of imposing unjust sanctions and threats of war, you know, all on behalf of another nation. And we need to just get back to learning the truths and sharing those with the American people. And a very encouraging trip for me, you know, and I did learn a lot about the Iranian culture and the Iranian people, and I have great respect for them.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that. I think that was obviously a very interesting aspect of your campaign to have had that experience. With regards to Iran and President Ahmadinejad, I would say, you know, my position towards them would be neutral, one of neutrality. I don't think that they are necessarily, great allies of the United States, but they are certainly not enemies to the extent that the subversive elements of our American academia and media and government are, the radicalized elements of the Jewish lobby and the Zionist lobby. But, you know, we know that the media lies about everything. So should we take them, knowing that they lie about everything, should we take them at their word with regards to Iran and Ahmadinejad? Obviously, you know, the answer is probably not. And so I haven't met the man. You have. Tell us your experiences. Tell us your honest assessment. I mean, how does that happen, by the way? You go over there for a film festival and you just say, hey, you know, let's gonna have coffee with the president. How did that meeting come about? I've seen the picture of you with him. Again, very impressive. How did it come about, and what was the exchange like when you did meet with him?
Well, actually, I'd given a presentation as a panelist to the festival attendees, and I think as a result of that, then I was invited later to give a special presentation where several film personalities were, and the audience included the president for that one. And I gave a short presentation, but I think I hit it pretty hard, and I got to meet the president. He gave me an award of a book they had from Omar Khayyam on poems, and I asked him at that time if I could have a private audience with him, and he granted me that, and we met a couple of days later in his offices and spent about 20 minutes, and he signed my book. And our discussion, he does speak a little English, but not well, so we did have a translator for the meeting. And for the most part, when you meet him, he's an impressive man. He's not a huge man, but he's got a lot of dignity, and he'll look you in the eye. He's got a firm handshake. He's a man that I feel from my gut is most caring for his people. And of course, the Iranian interests are not parallel to our interests, and we've always got to keep that in mind. But they should not be our enemies. And of course, their nation is 98% Islamic versus our strongly, at least at one time, strongly Christian environment. And I gained a new respect for the fact that we shouldn't be demonizing their religion unfairly without understanding it. All we hear are the radical elements. And of course, there are radical elements in all religions, and we can't base our judgment on that. But I found them to be a very devout people, a very family-oriented, virtually no crime, very considerate, respectful people. And I just had great respect for them. They look for pretty much like Southern Europeans, much different than you might imagine people from a Midwestern or Mideastern environment. They're not Arab. Of course, they're Shiite Muslim. And their culture, their heritage is much different than, for example, the Arab countries, which we would typically associate with them. And no, but as far as the president was concerned, our conversation dealt with basically bridging, as the festival did, cultures and getting a dialogue established. His concern really were that Americans start learning the truth. And I think that was the purpose of this festival. And there is going to be some public relations conferences and things to follow this, with the intent of sharing information with people so that there is a new voice and not just the mainstream media is controlled by Zionist influences. So he struck me as a man of peace. He made that mention a couple of times. Iran is about peace.
Merlin, we're coming up on a commercial break. Again, very interesting developments. And, you know, certainly the testimony you're giving tonight runs in stark contrast to that which we've always heard about him. But my friend, I'll take your word for it. We're going to take a break. We're going to refocus on the current elements of Merlin's campaign and where we go between now and Tuesday. Keith Alexander's got some questions. He's waiting in the wings. So stay tuned, everybody. We're back with Merlin in the middle.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, we have a couple of minutes remaining tonight with Merlin Miller, presidential candidate of the American Third Position. Learn more about Merlin at his website, merlinmiller2012.com. Merlin just got an email in from a listener in Lafayette, Colorado. His name is Frederick, and he says, James, please tell Mr. Miller I voted for him here in Colorado on Friday. Ask him what we can do to build this party going forward. So, Merlin, that question to you. What's going to happen between now and Tuesday with regards to the campaign and candidacy, and then what happens Tuesday and beyond?
Well, of course, we're still a very much unknown quantity, you know, when it comes to the mainstream and most Americans. But that's going to change. I think there's going to be a radical transformation, possibly within the next few months, but certainly within the next couple of years. And I think there's a growing nationalist movement. The patriots are waking up or starting to learn what's going on and realizing that the politicians aren't representing the American people and we aren't getting truths from the media. And I think as conditions worsen in our country, you know, whether it's the economy collapsing or them trying to initiate a new false flag to elevate this war on terror to a World War III or something, there's going to be more and more people rallying to our cause. And what we need to do is we need to help form coalitions. We need to spread the word, let everybody know the realities, and I think there's a lot of room for talking to the other political parties, for the other patriot groups, and as I always refer to it, we need a gathering of eagles, some good minds to come together and figure out how do we strategize and really build a viable third party that can get members elected to the Congress and the Senate here within the next couple of years and make a viable run for the presidency in 4 years, such that the Democrats and Republicans don't control the game. And that can happen. I think it's very real. We just got to continue to grow our movement.
Hello, Merlin. This is Keith Alexander. Can you hear me?
I can, Keith. How you doing?
Doing all right. Good to talk with you again. I would like to ask you, who do you think represents the greatest threat to getting us into a war with Iran, Romney or Obama?
Well, I think right now it's clearly Romney, and in fact, part of his campaign effort was making a trip to Israel where it's reported he raised a lot of money and basically on the basis of promising to go to war should Netanyahu say, we want you to attack Iran or join us in that attack or whatever. That's very scary to me when a politician will put the interests of another nation before America. And we need dialogue with all nations, but you certainly don't go and promising to go to war so you can get election dollars raised, and it's scary.
And everybody knows that Jewish power and influence in America tends to favor the Democrat Party, but nonetheless, you see this, quite frankly, unrestrained pandering by Romney to Israeli Jewish interests. Now, on the other side of the coin, I've never heard Obama say that he wouldn't go to war. In fact, he has pledged his loyalty to the state of Israel as well throughout this campaign. And that, I think, is why people need to consider your candidacy, because you're the one person who says that we're going to stand up and put America first.
Well, that's right. And both political parties, in my opinion, are controlled by Zionist interests. And you're right about Obama also. He hasn't ended these wars. And I have no doubts that with the right pressures applied, he would take us to more wars for Israel. He just hasn't come out as forcefully in his support of Netanyahu's rants and crazy positions. And I think if you look at the UN speeches that both Netanyahu and Ahmed Dedichat gave and listen to the translations of them, and you'll find who the rational speaker is, who the rational leader is. And it's not Netanyahu. I don't think the man is stable, personally. And we need to put America first. We need to do our own research. We need to not accept the lies that put us at war against Iraq, and those were proven to be lies. We're getting the same thing out of Israel now in terms of what Iran's capabilities are, what their intentions are. But the truth is, they are signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. They've been open to inspections. There's been no evidence, no proof whatsoever that they have any weapons development as a part of their energy development plans. Contrarily, their chief accuser, Israel, is not signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, is not open to inspections, and we know clearly has 200-300-plus nuclear weapons. And, of course, within the Middle East, they've been the instigators of false flag operations, so many acts of aggression, as well as the occupation of the Palestinian people, which is, you know, truly evil, in my opinion.
Well, you know, there's this clean break memorandum that was generated by Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perle when they were in the Clinton White House that recommended that the American State Department be complicit in replacing all Muslim leaders in the Mideast, including those that we considered to be friendlier or more compliant with American foreign policy than others, people like Mubarak and Gaddafi. And for all of his ballyhooed peacenik credentials, it seems as if the Obama administration, and Obama has followed through just as fully, if not more so, than the Bush administration in cleaving to the principles of that Clean Break memorandum, in particular, deposing both Mubarak and Gaddafi.
Well, that's true. And if you look at the administrations, you look at the Obama administration, the Bush administration before, and the proposed Romney administration, full of dual citizens. I just can't imagine why in security-sensitive positions for America, we would put people in and place them that have a loyalty to another nation. It's beyond me, but they clearly are in the positions of authority and responsibility in the administration. They've permeated the military, our security services, our intelligence services. It's one of the first things that need to be done is we need to clean house and put America firsters back in those kind of positions.
Well, Merlin, when we're talking about everything that makes up someone's presidential platform and campaign, it's hard to work it all in commercial radio, particularly two segments of it. But again, ladies and gentlemen, the website is MerlinMiller2012.com. You can learn more about the man who has been our guest this hour. He's still fighting for your votes, and we think you should give it strong consideration. Merlin, thank you so much for being with us again tonight. God bless you, and Godspeed to you over the course of the last 3-4 days of the campaign here.
Well, thank you, James and Keith, and keep up the great work.
We will, my friend. MerlinMiller2012.com. Give our best to Virginia Abernathy. You know, when we've talked about this, Keith, I get emails all the time from people who say, you know, I'm voting for the candidate who most closely mirrors my positions, and that's going to be a third-party candidate. We get people from say they're going to vote for Romney. Good people who listen to this show, they're going to vote for Romney. They say only two people are going to win. It's either going to be Romney or Obama. Romney is slightly better. We got to vote for him. And then there's people that say, you know, the Republicans deserve to be scorned. They deserve to be spited. Perhaps if things get bad enough in America, people will wake up, whereas they won't if it's just a nominal trend downward, and so they're going to vote for Obama. I can find merit in each of these philosophies, and I can't find fault in a member of my audience doing what they feel as though is best for them and their family, even if it's not the direction that I personally take. But I'm going to vote for Merlin Miller on Tuesday. I'm going to vote for him because I know him. I trust him. I appreciate his platform. You know, I've always voted third party, regardless of electability. Voted for Buchanan in 2000, followed by Michael Perutka, followed by Chuck Baldwin. And I'm going to vote for Miller this time here in Tennessee. He's on the ballot in Tennessee. He's on the ballot in a couple of other states. He has official write-in ballot access in several other states. You can get a listing of these states at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If Merlin Miller is not on the ballot in your state, if Merlin Miller is not eligible to be written in officially in your state, and again, you can get the lists of which states you can write him in or vote for him outright on the ballot at thepoliticalcesspool.org, I would encourage you to vote for Virgil Goud and the Constitution Party ticket, as I've done the last two election cycles. I think he's a good man, certainly worthy of your vote as well. These are the two that I would, you know, urge you to go for. That's just the way I see it. Now, I know many good people who listen to the show, Keith, will feel led to side with camps number two or three, vote for the lesser of two evils or vote for the worst. Even Pat Buchanan himself, the godfather of this show, has endorsed Romney this week. We should all take the path that we believe offers us the best course of action. But many people have asked me who I'm endorsing for president, who I'm going to vote for, and you just heard him on the show.
Okay, I've got slightly different reasons to vote for Merlin Miller. And I will concede that Obama would be worse for America generally than Romney, although it would be a disaster if America got into another expensive war in the Middle East, sacrificing not only American blood but American treasure in another no-win police action in the Middle East, which inflames Muslim hatred of America that quite frankly would not exist except for our meddling in their affairs. Here's my position. I think that people need to understand that you're not voting for the President of the United States when you indeed vote for the President of the United States. What you're voting for is the electors of your state. And if you want to know how your state is going to go, just look at any map of red state, blue state America that's been prepared for this election. If you are the resident of a state that's either solidly blue or solidly red, your vote for a third-party candidate isn't going to make two hoots in hell worth a difference. So consequently, vote your conscience, do what George Wallace said in 1968, and send them a message that they can't depend on your vote, that you're going to vote for somebody that provides a real alternative to the two major parties.
Great work, Keith. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the third and final hour right after this. And it's been